We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 through 16, and we'll be talking about Christian marriage. Paul will deal with Christian marriage. At this time of Paul, in this part of the world, there was a belief of Gnosticism. And the belief was that anything physical was evil. One side of this belief was purity in the material world is impossible. Therefore, do whatever your body desires, do whatever you think is right, and it really doesn't matter because there's nothing about you that isn't evil. Those on the other side of this, though, would abuse their bodies, would beat themselves, and in an attempt to do away with the evil that was in the flesh. And this Gnosticism requires Paul to speak up to clarify behavior in a marriage. And in verse 6, Paul gives a disclaimer. He declares, "This is not God's commandment, but it's my opinion." And we don't hear that from the Apostle Paul very often, not on a regular basis. And he said, "This is my opinion, not necessarily the law." There is another place where Paul declares, "I received this direction from Christ, and therefore I deliver it to you." But not here. Paul is going to give us his godly opinion of marriage. And that's in chapter 7 here. And he says, "This is my humble opinion, but it's worthy of consideration. But it isn't the absolute commands of God." In chapter 6, Paul has declared, "All things are lawful for me." Boy, that's an open door, isn't it? Everything's lawful to me. But he says, "I will not be brought under the control of any. The power of these different things will not possess me." And Paul will go on to declare doctrine in the early church, and he gives his godly apostolic opinion. And this is rare for the Apostle Paul, for he's known for declaring God's word. In fact, in the earlier chapters of 1 Corinthians, he says, "I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So Paul, he requires that we pay attention to his letter here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife the affections due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with a consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." And then the verse 6, "But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment." In other words, Paul's saying, "This is my opinion. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Paul is very upfront in his opinion of what marriage should be. As a person, Paul is saying, if you're a man or a woman and you need the comfort of a husband or wife, it's okay, so be it. And then the nevertheless in verse 2. Paul is declaring, better to have a mate, a husband or a wife, than to burn with desire. And Paul will go on to say, in marriage, neither the husband nor the wife have authority over their own body, but their body is for their mate. And he says, do not use sexual behavior as an option against your mate. You're to be giving of yourself. No holding back intimacy for any reason except at a given time of mutual consent where you are fasting and in prayer. Then Paul gives his disclaimer. I say this as a concession, not as a command. And Paul doesn't say that very often. In marriage, we mortals, male and female, need the affections that is due to us. It's that plain and simple. Affections are not limited to sexual behavior, but kindness and tenderness towards one another. Paul will go on to say in verse 7, I wish all of you were like myself, not necessarily tied down in a marriage. Now, that's a big statement too. You see, Paul was a Pharisee among the Pharisees. And it was a custom in the Jewish society to be married. If you were a male and reached the age of 20 years, they're wondering why you're not married yet. In fact, the belief was so ingrained into the Jewish man to be married, heaven was excluded from you if you were not married. Oh. But Paul, known to be a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling 70 men, to be a member of that Sanhedrin, marriage was required. So Paul, more than likely, was married at one time. It's thought that Paul's wife left him when he became a Christian, or if she was still alive and had not died, then maybe that was the reason he was single, that her death brought him to be a widower or single. All we know is that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, when he wrote it, he is not married. There's no mention of Paul's wife. And Paul was, by experience, worthy to speak on being married or not being married. Paul considered the gift of celibacy as a gift from God, not necessary for him to have a wife. Now, not all are called to that. I find great comfort in my wife. For Paul can now dedicate himself totally to God, and he realizes not everyone can do this. This dedication to God completely is a gift from God for Paul. So to the single person, use your singleness as an opportunity to totally dedicate yourself to God. Now that's a tall order. Marriage, apart from salvation, is the most important event in a person's life. Salvation, number one. Who you marry, right there, number two. So approach being married with careful prayer. There are things that are worse than being lonely or single. Like being married to the wrong person. That'll trump that one. There are some marriages that are consummated to relieve sexual lust. Person just, they feel that they lust too much, so they get married. And that's not a valid reason for marriage. For sexual lust does not magically disappear with marriage. It can be disappointing, and I'm sorry I have to say that, but marriage can be disappointing. So sexual relief is not a good reason to marry. Christian dating is a time of getting to know your future mate, not a time to experience lust being fulfilled. So believe me when I say, young people, no, even if you're not young, use dating as a time to get to know and understand who you're considering marrying. Not a time to fulfill lustful behavior. So when I say you need more than the marriage bed to fulfill a marriage, hear me. Next, Paul will address the subject of staying married, even if you're married to an unbeliever. So let's read verses 10 through 16 of 1 Corinthians 7. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if a brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? We don't know. Paul will now speak and counsel the will of God using his own experience and his own opinion. But the Lord's view upon marriage and Paul's view, notice, wives are not to depart from their husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife, even though they may be an unbeliever and they're willing to live with you. Now, there were two popular thoughts on marriage at this time in Israel. Divorce belonged to the man. You don't read very often about a woman divorcing her husband. They would leave, but the divorce proceedings came through the man. You could divorce your wife, one of the views was, even for the smallest imperfection. Perhaps your wife is not a good cook. Divorce her. Or she is barren. She hasn't given you children. Get rid of her. But the other side of that coin, the other side of that thought is the strict rabbis taught no divorce regardless. You're married, you're married. With these two views in mind on marriage, some liberal thinking people considered it more lawful to be single or separate for spiritual reasons. Hey, I can't do this in marriage, so I will never get married. Paul, by the will of God, says, you're not to depart in a marriage, and you're not to divorce, really, for any reason, if you're a believer, except sexual infidelity. So Paul, by the doctrine of Christ, simply says, divorce only when sexual immorality is there. Or perhaps when a believing spouse is deserted by an unbelieving spouse. And that one's not necessarily written in stone. The disciples of Jesus, hearing Jesus teach on divorce, and they would say, well, it's better than not to be married. And he says, for the reasons of divorce, they're simple, you know, sexual immorality. It's very difficult for two Christians to justify divorce apart from sexual betrayal. It's just very difficult. Jesus never commanded okay to divorce, but he said it is permitted. And why is it permitted? Because of the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote, give her a divorce. Because of your hardness of heart. And Paul will go on to further address, if your mate is not a believer, it's still not a reason for divorce if the mate is willing to live with you. So when trouble hits a marriage, and almost every marriage runs into rough spots, runs into speed bumps, and marriage counselors and pastors, one of the first things we hear when counseling a married couple is one or the other will say, my needs are not being met. Well, that's sad, but it's still not a reason for divorce. Paul will continue. So the believing spouse, by their good behavior, is to pull or convince the unbeliever to consider the beauty of salvation. The Christian in a marriage, if he's married to an unbeliever, they're to serve that one, to pull them into a Christian lifestyle. For the believing spouse sanctifies the marriage, and therefore their children are sanctified and considered to be Christians because of a believing parent if that child is under the age of accountability. Now, there's a lot of questions about that. But what is the age of accountability? 20. That's what it is in the Old Testament. It's 20 years old. We would think it would be younger. But those that were left in the wilderness were over 20, not under 20. And so the age of accountability, God held you responsible at 20. Now, that was Old Testament. Today, I think that age can vary. But it is probably a little older than we would think the age of accountability should be. So as Christians, we have a moral obligation to stay married whenever possible, even to an unbeliever. Now, these are not my personal convictions, but those of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. You might want to respect their opinion more than mine. They're strong words, strong views for us as believers. And I say that today, and if I marry somebody, I take them through a time of counseling before I marry them, because one half of all marriages end in divorce today. That's a horrible statistic. Half of the marriages, Christian or non-Christian, end in divorce. So strong teaching, strong doctrine is needed, and we have it here in 1 Corinthians 7. So before you marry, think, consider, what will it be like to be tied to be yoked to an unbeliever? Christians, word of advice, date Christians. You know, it's just common sense. Don't go outside of the faith to find a mate. Find a mate within the faith. It can be very troublesome. It can be very sorrowful, a lifelong sorrow, to be married to one who does not believe, because the communication breaks down. What's important breaks down. Now, it can be considered in a Christian society that divorce is the one unpardonable sin. No, it's pardonable. It's told that we're not to divorce, except for sexual immorality. But many times we supersede the teachings of God's word and we get divorced. Seek the Lord for forgiveness. He's a gracious God. He's full of grace, full of mercy, and there is forgiveness. But don't enter marriage ever in a light-hearted manner. And I recommend being married by a pastor. It's our job. And it's a time where you make promises towards one another, and these promises are to be fulfilled in the marriage vows. And marriage can be your greatest blessing apart from salvation that you will ever know. Thank the Lord for good Christian marriages. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we who are married, thank you for our mate. Thank you, Lord, that you provided someone for us to love and for us to be loved by. It's a beautiful thing for us to have the comfort of a believing spouse, have the just the communication of a Christian home day in and day out. What a blessing it is, Lord. I thank you for my wife. Thank you for her faithfulness and her goodness. Thank you that she has a walk with you that is upright, Lord. What a blessing it is to be married to a believer. So I give you thanks, and we give you thanks for your goodness to us in that way, Lord. And I pray for the marriages that are here before us this morning. Lord, fulfill the satisfaction and the heartfelt love for one another in a marriage. Make our marriages an example to the world around us of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, we give you thanks for that fellowship we can have in a marriage. Thank you, Lord, that you give us grace and you give us marriage. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. So, we ask those that are perhaps seeking a wife, lead them, guide them. If you're looking for a husband, lead her, guide her, Lord, and let them find the happiness in a Christian marriage. We pray for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.